In the comics recently, there was this big step where Jughead came out as asexual. Is that going to be true of your Jughead?
That is Chip Zdarsky's universe.
Yeah.
I love that they announced him as asexual. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I know that we're leaning a little bit, if we're to liken ourselves towards any of the universes created by the current Archie staff, we're definitely leaning more on the Mark Waid, Fiona Staples version. So I don't know what Jughead's sexuality is going to be like in this currently. I know that first and foremost, Jughead's real love is himself. And he's still a selfish character. He's a sardonic, sarcastic, observed, you know, he's still the observer on the outside. But he's still, like, locanously selfish. And I think, in terms of sexuality, I don't know. But I don't think it's going to be Chip Zdarsky's Jughead. I think it's definitely going to be new and different. Because this is a new and different universe. So we can't really expect the same.
What are you looking forward to most at Comic-Con?
All right, Comic-Con, well, I got to go to the Nerd HQ party last night, and I got to play the new Final Fantasy, which I was stoked about. And it is fantastic. So anything that allows me to get my hands on some unreleased video games right now is where I'll be hit.
One of my good friends works for Square Enix.
Oh, and see, I'm a big Final Fantasy fan, but I was so excited to get my hands on this. The gameplay is so good in this. It's so much fun.
Have you been down to Square Enix thing downtown?
No.
Okay.
Honestly, I got in yesterday. We've sort of been running around at high speeds. Yes.
What is one of the strangest things that's happened to you?
As a photographer, you get a lot of... So, this is a project I should not tell you guys about, but I will. One of my school projects for my photography class, I ended up trying to get real emotion out of people, so I waited for filled taxi cabs to stop at stoplights, and I would get in the taxi with them and take a picture of the moment that I got in the taxi cab. And just crazy, just risky stuff.
You're a monster.
I was a monster. This was a monstrous thing to do. But there was a single woman who was with her entire family, by the way, and she was like an older woman. And when I got in the cab, she smiled for the camera. It was a really uncanny kind of dialogue. That was something that scared me, because it was clearly a moment in which I was vulnerable. It's a jeopardizing moment. Someone just gets in the car all of a sudden, and she just looked at the camera and smiled for the camera. It was really, really creepy. Now, that was probably the single strangest thing that's happened to me as a photographer, and the strangest thing to do as a photographer, but sometimes you gotta get some weird cool shots.
Why do you think the Archie universe has survived as long as it has and enjoyed for 75 odd years?
The way that I've been describing it just now was the Archie cast is kind of like a theater troupe that just kind of enters into very many different universes. And it's managed to stay relevant because it's doing cool, fun, interesting things with a cast of characters, but it's also a comic property that's not superheroes. And I think that's really important. It's always been a fundamentally teen cast. And right now we're hitting a place with this version of our theater troupe where we're addressing a lack of a lot of teen dramas on television right now, and we're doing so in a film noir way. It's very much like Brick. And I think it managed to stay relevant because people still find likenesses to the cast, to the archetypes of Archie. We'll continue to entertain them and do some interesting, new, fun things with them. I mean, if zombies can come to Riverdale, I don't think this is going to be too far of a stretch for people wanting to see this version.
I had a bit of a break from acting. I was about the
struggle. I liked it. I don't think it needs to be more complicated than that, honestly. I really enjoyed the content. It's challenging. When I was given the audition, it was like 2 to 3 pages of a monologue for Jughead's narration. And that looked fun and hard, and that seemed interesting to me. It's also super film noir, which I'm a huge, you know, fan of that genre, and I wanted to try my hand at it. And I really like Jughead's character. He's a weird, creepy, sardonic observer character. And I think because he's the point of view of this show, it was it looks interesting. And I don't think it needs to be more complicated. It's just fun. I liked it. A little bit, mainly because free food is free food. But no, we're definitely going to be playing with gluttonous Jughead. But we're not going to beat you over the head with it to where you're like, okay, we get it, he's Jughead. You know? Like, everything about this show is finely tuned, you know, and we're really trying to hit a certain kind of feeling and mood with this. And Jughead that eats 7 cheeseburgers on screen is definitely going to be against the mood of that. So we're going to find another way to keep that fundamental Jughead without breaking the tone.
You know, people, when they first heard about Riverdale, before it was cast, you know, anything like that, Roberto was describing it as like, oh, it's Riverdale, you know, it's Archie meets Twin Peaks, and there was a lot of criticism for that.
Yeah, that's...
I was going to say, yeah, what's your response to people who say that they're not into that?
Well, first off, I have a personal issue with saying Twin Peaks, because I'm a Lynch fan, and I don't think anything will ever come close to that. That being said, we are definitely taking huge cues from the tone of Twin Peaks. And I think the cool thing about Archie, going back to how multiplicitous its universes really are, is we're just another version of an existing town and cast of people that have already had so many iterations. So I come from a comic book background. The second I hear one of my beloved properties is going to have a dark and gritty take,
yeah,
or a new take, I get incendiary. It gives me heat flashes. But the cool thing about Archie is that it's already super multiplicitous. It's not like a single Jughead has ever existed, so you have to be that Jughead or you're doing a disservice to the fans and the character. You know, that's not how this fan base has existed. And after seeing such an overwhelming and positive response to the way the pilot has taken place, I think people are going to be primed for this. I think the audience is going to be primed for this, and I think they're really going to love it. And if we can capture even the smallest amount of Twin Peaks in something like this, we're solid.
I just think it's funny that people use that as like a criticism, because the thing is, like, Twin Peaks in a way already was Archie meets Twin Peaks.
Exactly,
like,
right.
Twin Peaks was, yeah, about the Archie archetypes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. So, I mean, I think really the only criticism we're getting is because the thought of beloved comic properties doing something new always immediately brings a reaction out of beloved comic book fans that is a bit incendiary, you know? Yeah. But that's my jerk reaction whenever I hear about a comic property. And I know you guys are comic book fans too. I know that's how everyone reacts when they hear about a new version of this. But again, I'll say it, Archie, you know, if the Punisher can come to Riverdale, if the Predator is in Riverdale, I don't think, you know, a sleuth Jughead is going to be something that's so off the wall.
Right.
So I think that means we're in good shape. And also, this is a smart show and really well written and done by the lead creative officer of the Archie comic verse. I mean, it's not like we're getting some schmo off the street who's like never had any experience with Archie comics. No, we're getting the biggest fanboy that exists for Archie comic books, and he's the one going, this is all right. It's like saying, you know, that's not the attitude of an award winner, but no, you won the award, you know, like this can't be divorced from Archie. This is Archie.
Just out of curiosity, are you a Frank Miller fan?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I used to work at Meltdown Comics when I was younger.
Oh, sure.
I've been immersed in this culture for, you know, I was raised in this. One thing I know that Roberto's taken big cues from is the comic Black Hole. I don't know if you guys
remember. Oh, wow,
Which was my personal favorite when I grew up.
That's a good reference point.
Which I think, you know, would be an interesting place to take off with a lot of these characters. It's like a super trippy. I mean, it's very much what we're going for. Jughead's character, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Brick, but it's basically, you know, a film noir set in a teen, a high school drama. And that's Jughead's character. Jughead is very Joseph.
Yeah. Or,
you know, that's like those two characters are pretty much exactly what we're going for.
Are you looking forward to the next Twin Peaks series?
A little bit. You know, again, my knee-jerk reaction is always a little bit trepidation. But we have Machen on our show, and just the way that she alludes to it means it's still in the right hands. Obviously, it's in the right hands. So, I'm excited. Yeah.
How was the whole cast come to this?
Super solid. Surprisingly solid, actually, because as a cynical Squidward-like man myself, I end up really kind of fearing the worst and just expecting the worst when you get with a cast of people your age. But we get along so well that I think that means it's going to work. You know, that's all you have at the end of the day, is a solid connection that hopefully bleeds through to the actual chemistry on screen.
Is there a particular conversation you've had with Roberto that stands out in your mind as being enlightening?
About my character or about the show itself?
Either one, I guess.
Both. Well, the black hole conversation really was it. Yeah. You know, it, we don't... We're trying to... We really want the fans to like this.
Yeah.
You know, and that every conversation with Roberto bleeds that through, because he's the biggest fan of this and he really wants us to succeed. And I think because we really want the Archie fans to enjoy this and people who don't know the Archie series as well, we're it's going to be enjoyed. That's really the truth of it. You know, because we're not looking to do a disservice to people, especially to comic book fans. You know, we're looking to entertain them in a new, weird way with the same theater troupe that's just inserting itself into, you know, a strange murder mystery. It's cool.
What's KJ like on set?
The best. I actually, really talented. Just, like, savant talented, you know what I mean? Just, yeah, like, prodigal. You know, when you watch someone do something and you can tell there's almost... They're so good at it, but there's not too much overthinking involved. That's KJ. KJ is just like, it works because he's a great actor from some talent that he's just had with him. It's like, it's genetic, you know? I'm not a religious man myself, but it's prodigal almost. Now, when I first saw that KJ was cast, I stalked his Twitter a bit. I was a little trepidatious I would get along with KJ. There was a single picture, and I still give him crap about it, where he's like, flexing his biceps, and he's got a Red Bull in each hand. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, this is what it's going to be. You know, I went into it, but KJ and I are legitimately two peas in a pod. We really are. And surprisingly so. I mean, we come from very, very different backgrounds and two different parts of the world, but we're solid. I mean, we hang out all the time outside of set. I'm excited to get started. I'm excited to, you know, to show the relationship between Jughead and Archie and have that friendship lead through onto screen. I think it will.
And so I haven't seen the pilot, but you do voiceover.
Yeah, I'm the narrator.
So what's your strategy going into a voiceover session? It's very different from reacting and
blow my nose, drink a lot of water. I do this thing. I guess I'm a spitty person.
Spitty?
Yeah. So I do this. Or like I'm like a dentist tool. I get all the saliva out of my mouth. No, it's different because you also want it to be a film noir narration. It's not just a narration. It's a film noir narration, which is a very specific genre. So I'm trying my hand at it. I know I'm going to get better at it over the season, but right now I feel pretty confident with it. So I'm just going to keep finely tuning it, watching my movies and listening to those narrations and trying to copy even a modicum of that.
You a fan of Mr. Robot's narration? You ever watched Mr. Robot?
I actually haven't seen Mr. Robot, but I know a ton of people dig it. So
that's great. Yeah, it's great. And it has, it's weird, but it has great voiceover narration. But anyway, Rami Malek, who does that, said it's a totally different process from actually like acting with
totally
other people.
Is. It totally is. I did a couple of voiceover things when I was younger. Even the fact that you show up in your pajamas is, you know, immediately and anthropologically just a different kind of immersion. You know, how you approach that, how you immerse yourself into that environment is very different. It can also be a little bit sterile because it's hard because you're in the booth, you're not acting across from somebody, you're just in this padded room across from the mic. So it makes it easier to close your eyes and try and listen to yourself speak and feel it out as if you were staring in a mirror. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll just get a mirror and just place it across from me like I'm speaking to it or something. Make it a little easier.
Do you have to memorize your lines for those, or do you just read?
Yeah, I like to memorize it all way ahead of time.
Oh, okay.